welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
That I may know and that I may follow. Pray for yourself. Pray as if your life depended on the prayer. And I believe I'm going to preach this for probably a few weeks and then we'll shift to something else. But the way you prepare is very important. And preparation in life is what brings success. Success is not just dependent on luck or chance. It depends on how far you're prepared. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A woman, when she has taken her time to prepare a good meal, knows that this meal, it will do the trick. Is it not so? But a bachelor who just takes some gari, some processed cassava, put some sugar inside, put some granite inside, and says he's enjoying it, he's just consoling himself because he has nothing else to compare with. Tell somebody, prepared. We are going to prepare ourselves for a very, very good year. Somebody say amen. No matter where you are right now, if you can begin to understand the import of preparation, you will begin to find changes in whatever you do. Are you listening to me? A lot of time we do not succeed because we do not even prepare for success. Because to be prepared means you are waiting for it. It's like the pastor who announced one day that next week Sunday, the Spirit of the Lord has told me that it's going to rain. Who believes? And the whole church said, I believe. So come next week Sunday. He got to church. Then he asked, how many of you brought your umbrellas? And nobody's hand was up. Then he said, you see, last week you said you believed that this Sunday it will rain, but you did not bring your umbrellas. In other words, they were not even believing. How much more prepared? Too many Christians, they don't prepare for success. I said too many Christians, they don't ready themselves for good things in life. And the Lord has laid this on my heart to let you know that you can be prepared unto every good work. Say after me, I can be prepared unto every good work. Say, they are good works. And I can prepare myself. I can let the Holy Spirit prepare me unto good works. Let me hear somebody say a loud amen. Let me hear a louder amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, when we read from verse 8 going, it says, for we are his workmanship, created what? Unto good works. I want you to know that your life as it is has been fashioned. It has been put together for good. Don't let the devil deceive you. This year, there are prophets who are going to go around, we're going to call people, and we're going to tell them that, look, it will be bad. But when you hear a prophet like that, all that you have to say is, Tofiakwa. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't accept any negative thing this year. To the point that even if the thing looks negative, believe that God is able, according to Romans 8:28, that all things work for good to them that love him and to those who are the called according to his purpose. If you believe, say, I believe. That must be the mindset. And I'm sharing with you very briefly on prepared unto every good work. The short form is prepared. Say prepared. Are you prepared? I don't know what you're prepared for. A lot of people prepare for different things. The many young ladies, they're going to get married. They prepare for a great wedding, but they don't prepare for a great marriage. Mercy. Think about it. What a shame it will be when you spend all your resources preparing for a nice wedding. You go to Dubai to buy your seat of or the bride. Then you go to London, the home of menswear, to go and buy your seat for you and for your best man. Your shoes, you go to Australia because you hear that there they have alligator skin shoes. Your watch is from the home of Swiss made machines, Switzerland. Preparations, you go to see fire service, and then your convoy is the fire service truck that is leading you. Hey! You go to the race course and you get some horses, and you have planned everything. Your colors, green and gold. Are you listening to me? Your hair was done by where did they do hair? Choco, where? India. Hey! By the way, they say those who want to go to Brazil, you must go with your own hair. If you want to go to Brazil 2014, young ladies, go with your own hair. Because if you arrive there with some Brazilian hair, you'll be walking on the street, and one young lady will come and say, hey, it be my hair that bring it. So make sure you go with your own hair. Tell somebody, make sure you go with your own hair. Anyway, we are talking about prepared unto every good work. I want to just give you probably about three scriptures we're going to read. If God permits, we'll read a few more. But these are my anchor scriptures. The first one is from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Do you have 2 Timothy in your Bible? The certain parts of the scriptures, a lot of people do not go there. They like to stay with areas where they have heard over and over. God bless you, projector people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. The two verses we're going to read from there, verse 20 and verse 21. We want to start from verse 20. Very interesting scripture. If you are there, say amen. Prepared unto every good work. If you're not prepared, you miss it. I tried in life many times to prepare ahead of time. I took most of my major exams a year before time. I used to do what they call the O levels, ordinary level examination. I decided I'll not wait for my time. A year before, I went to register and then I wrote it and I put it aside. A level, a year before, I went to register, I wrote it and I put it aside. I went to sleep. Listen very carefully, you can prepare. When you have two people going into an exam, you can see those who are prepared and those who are not prepared. Those who are prepared, they look relaxed and they almost look like Charlie, they have a pop. Those who are not prepared, it's like they are anxious. This year, may you be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, may you make your request known unto the Lord, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it dwell in your heart. Let me hear an amen. This sermon is going to catapult some of you into preparation. It's going to turn some of you into people who will prepare. You will prepare for success. You will prepare for good works. Some of you, you prepare only for bad things. I know. Some of you being in church right now, you are carrying condoms in your bag. Oy! What a shock. Sustained shock. Oy! Azonto shock. What are you doing with the condom? Christmas etchum, Yahoo balloon away. Hey! But I want you to know that as a Christian, you can prepare for the good things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can prepare. And when you prepare, it will show. I said it will show in the success. Every single member of this church, you're going to have something more than one, two, three to be grateful for even before we enter into the second quarter of the year. Let me hear amen. Every single person in this church, because I believe with all my heart that God designed us for good works. God created us to do good. God created us to enjoy the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some time ago, I said to myself that the Bible says that I shall have dominion over the cattle of the earth.
over the birds of the air, over the fishes of the sea, over every creeping thing. So there was some water. Everybody say water. And I said, why should I be afraid of water? There are some people afraid of water. I said, no. I said, I cannot be afraid of water. So there was a speedboat. I said, I'm going on the speedboat. And I'm going to sit on the speedboat. And I'm going to go over the water. Hey! It took courage. At the point I was asking myself, is this stupidity? Or is confidence? Or is what? Or is dominion? Honestly, I was asking myself. But I also told myself that I cannot just be there and let the word of God not be proved. Not to prove anything to anybody but to myself. Not to show off to anybody. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I sat on the speedboat like that. Hey! And come and see, vroom, 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 vroom. I was on the water. Boom, 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 boom. At a point, then I started quoting scripture. That's what gave me power. I started singing Ron Kennelly's song. The earth, this is the land, this is the seas, this is the land, this is. Everybody put your hands together. Hey! Because I said to myself that God has created me to enjoy the earth. Is somebody listening to me? Talking about preparation. Let's read a few scriptures. We'll read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, 21. We're going to read Luke chapter 14, verse 31. This is Jesus speaking. If possible, we'll read also Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, and verse 22, and verse 28. Can we read the scriptures starting from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20? If you are there, say amen. The Bible talks about a great house. Everybody say a great house. What is a great house? That word great house can stand for the church. It can also stand for the kingdom of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Because in so many places of the Bible, we hear that God is great. So we can know that it is his house that can also be said as great. Amen. Very quickly. The Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but the Bible says also of earth and wood, and some to what? Honor, and some to dishonor. Ask somebody, are you to honor or dishonor? Meaning that in the house of the Lord, there are different types of vessels. Some vessels that are made of gold, there's some vessels that are made of silver. Some are made of wood, and some are made of earth. Some are made of precious material. Some is also common material. May you become a vessel of honor in the name of Jesus. It's like when people come to your house, you serve them. And I remember I was talking to some young girls in the university. They were telling me that in their room, they have different glasses and different containers. And they are roommates. So if a boy comes to the room, and they cannot say much, based on the cup or the glass that they use to serve the boy, they are communicating to the roommate that as for this one, it be sanquas. As for this one, it be special. Code. Vessels of what? Anna. May you be a vessel of Anna. Let me hear amen. Pastor, how can I be a vessel of Anna? Verse 21 is the answer. Can you go to verse 21? The Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself of these have already been said in the previous verses, talking about all sorts of character traits that are not good. We cannot go into that. But the Bible says that if a man therefore purge himself of these, the Bible says he shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use, sanctified, the Bible says, and prepared. That word sanctified means set aside. And prepared. Can we all read the last few words? Prepared unto every good work. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. Prepared. Tell somebody, I'm prepared. Say, I'm preparing. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can still prepare. Because so long as you're around, it means there's still work for you. So long as you have not checked out. Unfortunately, there are children who behave as if they are 80. They behave as if life, everything is just. Meanwhile, there are people in the Bible who believed God that so long as they are around, that there's still more to do. Somebody like Joshua. Somebody like Caleb. Can I speak to you? So my the title of my message is taken from verse 21. The last few words. Prepared unto every good work. I want you to begin to prepare yourself for success. Let me hear amen. Even when you are preparing, and it looks like the things ahead of you are evil, you can prepare yourself for the good. Why do I say that? Proverbs 22 verse 3, it says that the prudent man, that word prudent means wise. Paul said, as a wise master builder. Jesus said he's coming and he's going to talk to the wise steward. Who then is this wise and faithful steward whom his master will reward at his coming? He said, the prudent man, what does he do? He foreseeth the evil ahead and then he hides himself. In other words, he prepares himself. You don't just walk in life ding, like that. This season, this year, from December to now, the weather system in the world has totally changed. America and certain places in the northern hemisphere, that is America, Canada, all those places, they've been experiencing high winds and very low temperatures, to the extent that even America, which is normally warmer than Russia, has become cold. I had a guy, we used to call him Ikodio. Tell somebody Ikodio. You know, it means it's cold. We used to call him 1617. Because if we didn't know, we are all of a sudden, he'll say, Ikodio. Then you say, the weather bring himself. Then you start saying, 1617. Say, hey. In Africa here, meaning that 1617 is very cold. But do you know what they are recording in America? Negative 22. I was talking to a young lady who lives in America just a week ago. She lives in Pennsylvania. And she was saying that it is negative 50 in certain places. Do you know what is negative 50? It means taking a coaster and putting ice inside and then going inside naked. Is somebody following me? So the white man, for example, before he moves into another season, he prepares himself. He does what? He prepares himself. That's why we in Africa, we just have one way clothes, one way, one dress. You can wear it from January to December. The white man doesn't behave like that too. He has what? Winter clothes and summer clothes. And unfortunately, some of we Ekurasifo, we see them wearing winter boots. We see them wearing all the fair jackets, and then it's nice. All those muffler and everything, and then we wear it right in the middle of Accra when the weather is hot, when you need to open your chest small. I mean, if you are not a woman, and then you just feel free. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm talking about prepared unto every good work. Can I continue preaching? Are you sure? Let me read my scriptures. The second scripture that I said we'll read is in Luke chapter 14 verse 31. I don't have much time, so I just want to read that particular verse. But in it, Jesus spoke about two situations, and he was speaking about preparation. He spoke about a man who was going to build a house and counting the cost before he built. But the one that I like is about the man who was going to war. Somebody say war. From the perspective of Jesus. Everybody say from the perspective of Jesus. Oh, learn some new English word. From the perspective of Jesus. Wow. Some of you are just looking at me. Jesus, as far as he was concerned, the world and our life in it could also be seen as war. Are you understand what I'm saying? War. And there's so many places in the Bible that the Bible says war. The Bible says, as a good soldier, you do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You do not entangle yourself. Listen, let me just go very quickly. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 31, can we all read? The Bible says, oh, what king going to war against another king? Are there some kings in the house? If there are some kings, let me hear an amen. We are priests and kings. Don't let anybody deceive you. What king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted? Say, I shall consult. Inshallah. And consulted whether he be able with 10,000 men meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. He doesn't say men, but 20,000 men. It's talking about preparation. Somebody say preparation. Even Jesus, he was looking at life in terms of preparing. Even Jesus, when he came to the world, if you read your Bible carefully, he spent 30 years preparing, acquiring wisdom, being obedient to his father and mother, learning how to say good morning, or to then acquire, learning how to serve, learning how to know how to do certain things, preparing before he launched into his ministry. And then he went into a fast. Am I speaking to somebody? So if the year 2014 is going to bring goodness to you, it is my responsibility, Marian, to help you to prepare and to prepare well. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say, I hear you. Those of you at the back, it is God that brought you to church today to help you to know that you need to prepare. You cannot just move into it. What's the point in preparing for a wedding day and not preparing for a marriage? Some of you, you come to church, you prepare your body, you bath with far. Is that soap still in town? You bath with Lux. Is that soap still in town? You bath with what? Alata Samina. Amonji. Huh? What do you bath with? Guardian. What? Life Boy. Key soap. Omo. Oi! And you put on perfume. You are wearing nice perfume. May you wear nice perfume in Jesus' name. And you put oil on your face. Some of you, I had a friend who told me that he can go into the mother's kitchen, and when he doesn't have oil, he can go and take the oil that has been used to fry fish. Hey. And then that is what you will use. Some of you are prepared for a Sunday service, but you are not prepared for the sermon. Yeah. Because when you're coming to church, all that you wanted was so that somebody can see that I am in my new bronya tadie, my new bronya dress. So I've come. And some of the ladies, lipstick, the lips, the fingertips, and the hips. Hey! Tell somebody the lips, the fingertips, and the hips. Hey! That's what you are prepared for. But you are not prepared your heart to hear something. May that change in the name of Jesus. In the whole of 2014, may your heart be prepared every time you come to church. Oh yeah, I believe it strongly. Listen to me. If you're going to enjoy a good year, there are two things you're going to do as you are preparing. Two things. Number one, you need to have a good attitude. You need to have what? A good attitude. Attitude has to do with the way you see things and the way you react and act toward things. When God created man,
That's something he told man. He wanted man to have a good attitude. Look, attitude has to do with the way you see. Some say the way I see. The way you see something and the way you are able to perceive and the way you are able to even look at life in general, that is what is going to give you what you want in life. Because what you see is what you have. Effie, if you see me as a pastor who is interested in your affairs, in your life, all the time when you are looking at me, that is what you are seeing. But if you see me as somebody who just wants to interfere, who just is a busybody, there are some people like that. They see their boss as an interference, and they say, "Kwemole eba, nale numwe eba, eba, How many of you experienced it before? You are going somewhere, you see a group of people, they are talking, busy. But as you arrive, then it's like, and then they put on some sheepish smile. Hello, Pastor. They were talking about you. Attitude. What kind of attitude do you have? What kind of attitude are you looking at 2014 with? Are you looking at 2014 as a year that's going to bring goodness to you? Are you looking at 2014 as a year in which good things will happen to you? Or you are saying that 2014, my life, my life today both float. I both float. What took or to Anguamua? Maybe about one another. Can I say that your life is just like both fruits? Your life is more than a piece of bread. Am I speaking to somebody? Your attitude, how you see life. And I want you to begin to see life as war. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. In other words, if you want peace, the precedence is war. The forerunner to peace is that you have to war. Are you understanding me? Even in heaven, Revelation 12 verse 7, the Bible says there was war in heaven. Even in heaven there's war. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Listen very carefully. If you're going to enjoy 2014, you must be prepared to fight. You must be prepared to what? Fight. And I'm not talking about the fight that is in the canal. 2 Corinthians, maybe we should read that scripture. It's not part of my anchor scripture. But let's read the 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Can we go there very, very quickly? That is a very famous scripture and I think it's going to help us this year, even as we begin our fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Am I preaching a good message? Oh, I said, am I preaching a good message? Well, your opinion does not matter to me, because to my Lord I stand or I fall. Listen very carefully. It is my desire that every single person in this church, from the young to the old, the rich and the poor, male and female, different social status, you will come to a certain realization that if God is for you, nobody can be against you. It is my desire as a pastor that every single person here will have an encounter with the Holy Spirit this year. I'm serious. I'm very, very serious. Amos chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says, and this will I do unto you, and because I'll do that unto you, prepare to meet thy God. It's not talking about death. When I was a younger Christian and a pastor, I used to think it was talking about death. But now I realize that that word prepare to meet your God means prepare for another encounter with God. Let me hear an amen. Push your neighbor and say, prepare to meet your God in 2014. Some of you go through life interested in uncle, interested in brother, sister. But this year, as you bring the God factor into your life, did you hear me? As you bring the God factor into your life, as you bring the Holy Spirit into your affairs, as you make sure that your life is not just bound or hinged on happenstance or on luck or kismet or fate or fortune or serendipity, as you believe that your life is not just based on chance, and as you endeavor
to go into the realms of the spirit to utter words that will change your circumstance. May you receive every good thing and every blessing. May somebody say amen. I said we're going to read a scripture. What was it? Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Are you there? Verse 3. Wow. The Bible says, for though we do what? For though we do what? Is there anybody who walks? Is there anybody who flew to church? Is there anybody who swam to church? Everybody walked to church. For though we walk, the Bible says, in the flesh, we do not war. Some people, they get to that point and they stop. They say, we do not war. We don't war. But I want you to know that life is a war. We do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. Very quickly. I'm telling you two things you need to prepare with for. Or two areas in your life you need to prepare. Somebody say, my attitude. Say, my attitude. And I say, attitude has to do with the way you see things. If I see general as somebody that God has brought, sit down, sir. Somebody has brought into my 18, into my life, as it were, to be a pastor too. I will be looking to God to see how best can I be a pastor to general. Are you following me? But there are some pastors who see church members as meat. Angwanam. They see them as people that they must milk them. So every time they come to their church and they say, this church they are ungrateful. In Christmas, nobody sent me a Christmas gift. Look at you. You people, go. Go to Nigeria and see how they were blessing pastors. I don't see that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Verse 4. Can we read verse 4? The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody say attitude. I want to just talk a little bit of attitude, then I'll go on to the second thing that you need as you prepare. So the first thing you need is a good attitude. Say a good attitude. And I said attitude has to do with the way you see. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't go through life like a defeated Christian with your hands down, always morose, moody, mobbed, always looking as if life has drowned you in lemon juice. As a child of God, you cannot have that attitude. Even God, when He created the earth, listen to me. Everybody look at me. You know what it said in the very first chapter? When He created man, this is what He told him in verse 29. He said, and behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. Tell somebody, behold. Meaning, shine your eyes. My prayer is that as a Christian, I will be able to see what God has for me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I know, Bible students, don't make the mistake to think that God has nothing for you. Don't make the mistake to think that, oh, there are some people who say, when. You see, the more you do that, and you have a long face, the longer your breakthrough is waiting. The moment you can have joy filling your heart, in expectation, the Bible says the whole creation waited for the expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Listen, as you expect God, your expectations, your desires, as you fix it on God, as you fix your heart on things above, you begin to say that heaven will begin to respond to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The problem with Lazarus, how many of you have heard of Lazarus? The man who laid at the rich man's table in Luke. Luke 16. His problem was a Christian who had the wrong desires. He had the wrong expectations. hit somebody and say, what is your expectation for 2014? Hey! Do you know the environment in which you grow up in, it can affect your expectations? If you grow up in an environment where at the age of 17, every young girl is getting pregnant, that is your expectation. If you grow up in an environment where every young boy is smoking something, sniffing something. Hey! Yesterday I heard a song on Sweet Melodies. Say, na me ye bad. Na me num we. Na bon sam su nan kopese me num cocaine e fami trim. Hey! I was bad. I used to smoke Indian hemp. The devil wanted me to smoke cocaine. So now I'll become a lost case. If you live in an environment where everybody does it, that's what you're also doing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about, your attitude, your expectations, how you see. I am a Christian. So what do? I always take the word of God. And then I start looking inside. I say, Lord, what are your expectations for me? Because I know that the expectations that God has for me is in His word. Are you getting me? When I come to church and I'm listening to the pastor, I'm looking, desiring. I am like the man in Hebrews. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently look for Him. Am I speaking to somebody? I'm looking, God, what do you have for me in your word? What are my expectations? What is it? And when I look, sometimes I can see 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. I say yeah. I look at it and I see the book of Psalms. I see Psalm 75. And I see that, hey, promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But He puts down one and He lifts up another. And then I say, yeah. Somebody here with me. I look inside the word of God. And I say, Lord, what do you have for me? I see a promise. And I say, it's mine. Even though it has not come to pass yet. But by faith, I begin to appropriate it. I begin to take it. Am I speaking to somebody? Some of you have been waiting for God for some time. You have been waiting for God for certain breakthroughs. I prophesy over your life. It will not be long. I said it will not be long. As you open your heart. And as you open your eyes. And as you say, Lord, my mouth is open wide. Fill it. As you come to God with a heart of expectation. With a heart of belief. Not unbelief. As you come to God believing. As you serve God knowing. That though. The vision tarries, I will wait for it. Am I speaking to somebody? I'm causing you to begin to change your expectations. I'm causing you to begin to change the way you see God. Somebody say, attitude. In the Bible, there was a group of young men who were sent to go and spy out the land that Jehovah God had promised to the children of Israel. Interestingly, there was something that was told them before they went. The one who sent them, who sent this man to go and check out the land, Moses. Moses actually told them that this land that I'm sending you to go and check out has already been given. Tell somebody it's been given to you already. Shake three people around you, say, it's been given to you. Look, there are certain things that have been given to you. I said, there are certain things that have been given to you. Are you here with me? Certain things have been what? Given to you. Say, they have been given to me. Say, 2014 has been given to me. Say, goodness, mercy has been given to me. Health has been given to me. Wealth has been given to me. A good husband has been given to me. A good wife has been given to me. Children
has been given to me. A house has been, success has been given to me. The money has been given to me. Give the Lord a shout.
Listen to me. One of the things that God would like us to do is to have a good attitude. I don't have much time, but I just want to share this with you. Still talking about attitude. Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at verse 30. Say a good attitude. I'm talking about preparation. Preparation. If you don't prepare, you don't get the best. Even Jesus, before he came, they had to prepare his way. John the Baptist had to come and prepare the people. Behold, I'm the voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way. Do you know the days of Elijah? When I finish preaching, I want you to sing it for me. Either you or Francis, whoever was singing. Prepare. 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 Isaiah 40 verse 3. That's what the Bible says. Prepare ye the way. I'm preparing you for a great 2014. Is it a good thing? I said, I'm preparing you. If Jesus needed a preparation before he could start his ministry, then you and I, we cannot do without preparation. Can somebody say, I hear you? Are you in Numbers chapter 13? What does the Bible say? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. That is the can-do spirit or the can-do attitude. Yes, I can. That is the message upon which Barack Hussein Obama won the American elections. Yes, I can. Yes, we can. If a church can say, yes, we can. If a prayer team can say, yes. If a choir can say, yes, we can. If a church can say, yes, there's no telling where we'll go. If pastors can say, yes. If we can be like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, and the Bible says it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you say yes, if you can have a good attitude, smiling, happy, excited, asking, where are we going? How can we get there? When I like people who, when there's an idea, immediately they say, Charlie, pastor, how, when, can I do this? I'm doing this. You know, there are two groups of people, in fact three. When you bring an idea, there are some who are looking at you like that. Yeah, indifferent. There are some who oppose it outright. And when there are some who say, Charlie, pastor, let's run with it. Let's move. May you be one of the people who will say, pastor, let's run with the idea. Don't be a skeptic. Don't be somebody with a double heart or a double mind, always punching holes in perfect ideas. The idea has 98 good points. All you could do was find the 2 points that look funny to you, and then you started measuring on the minus. May you measure on the majors and minor on the minus in Jesus' name. Is somebody listening to me? If you can have a good attitude, have the attitude that the glass is half full instead of half empty. Tell somebody, the glass, it is half full. It is not half empty. It is half full. Is somebody following what I'm saying? Joyce Meyer puts it this way. It says, be happy where you are on the way to where you are going. Be happy where you are on the way to where you are going. Some of you, the reason why you are not able to go far in life is that you are fixated with now. And you are fixated with negatives. Go to verse 33. I believe it's the last verse of that chapter. Somebody here with me. Is that verse 33? And there, you see, Caleb has spoken. And then this is the other team. We don't have much time to read all the scriptures, but I'm believing in your quiet time, you will be able to take the Bible and read the whole story and even see the different things that the Holy Spirit will tell you. Is somebody here with me?
This is the other team. This is the opposition. Everybody say opponent. There are people who are opponent in the church. Hey!
Reverend, can I continue preaching? I feel like I'm a stranger that has come from Mars. I feel like the things that I'm sharing, it's like I should be more realistic. Oh, thank you, Chulo. This is the other side. And be careful when you hear too much of the other side. Be careful when, that's what the Bible says, be careful how you hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must learn to shut certain voices in 2014. Voices of negativity. Voices that come to you to tell you that it will not work. Voices that tell you that da. Look at us, say da. Say da.
Hey! When those voices come, you should also look at them and say da. When somebody tells you that you have been in this church for this long, don't you see that things are not working? You tell them da. Da. What's da? Am I preaching to somebody? Oh, I feel in my spirit that it's going to be a good year. Tony, those of you who are not preparing, I pity you. Oh, begin to prepare for something wonderful. I said, begin to prepare for something super fantabulous. Ah, begin to prepare for something delicious. Oh, begin to open your mouth. Begin to open your hands. Open your pockets. Everywhere you can open to receive, so that you can receive the message of God. Ah, the Bible says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Ah, all the days, including 2014. Ah, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Maria Shakata Kabrusokoto Yanda. I don't even want to listen to the opponent, but listen to them. And there we saw the giant, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. The painful thing is the way you see yourself, that's how you're going to become. We were, listen, we were, that is our perception of ourselves. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and the painful thing is the way you see yourself, that's what you become. And the Bible says, and so were we in their sight. Meaning that, listen, everyone listen to me, the way you project yourself, that is how you are seen. I was 11 years old when my big sister, she told me, she said, Eja, that's my house name. Not Ejaku, but Eja. She said, the way you sell yourself, that's the price you'll be bought. I was just about 11 years old, and it has stuck with me. The way you sell yourself, some of you present yourself as Moborowa in the hope that somebody will have pity on you. When you are a child of God, when you have legions of angels at your behest and you can call upon them in prayer. When the Bible says that because I love iniquity, I love righteousness and I hated iniquity, therefore the Lord thy God, he has done what? He has done what? He has anointed me with the oil of gladness above my contemporaries or above my fellows. You need to know who you are. I said you need to know who you are. When men want to entice you, young lady, and then they want to say, come with me, and you say, share. Where? Then you say, there. You say, no way. I'm not going to sell my virginity for a bowl of fried rice. Hey! My pastor, at the end of my head, now. It's over. 2014 is a new year. You can start afresh. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody.
Open up the heavens, shout with sound your presence. We respond to your great love.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This rich teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for everyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Bishop Samuel Sawyer is an anointed man of God with a special grace for teaching the Word of God and a unique passion for people and positively transforming lives. He is currently the resident head pastor of the Rose of Sharon Cathedral, Accra, Ghana. enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teaching as taught in the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong, right into His arms.
You don't need to lower your estimation. You don't need to lower the expectations of God. You don't need to. My brother, my sister, you got married at a beautiful wedding yesterday, is it not so? There are different types of marriage you can decide to enjoy. But I want you to enjoy the God kind of marriage. I want you to enjoy Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 kind of marriage. The marriage is honorable. So though you have not entered into parliament from today or yesterday, you are now honorable judge and honorable rater. Put your hands together for them. The Bible says that he who finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and he obtains favor from the Lord. May you have favor prevailing over your marriage. Because your attitude towards anything in life, that is what you have. If your grandfather had a marriage in which he was slapping his wife, and his wife was also chasing him with Eta, hey, and the whole house was like fireworks, then that is what you are going to have, because that is what you saw. Are you getting me? That's why those of you who are born again, you need to re-examine the way you think now. Romans 12 verse 1, 2, 3, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, so that you will prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Don't just be affected by the environment. Don't let your expectation be affected by the environment around you. Somebody say, I expect a good thing in 2014. Some say, I expect life. Say, I expect goodness. Say, I expect to laugh in 2014. Let's practice some laughter. You must learn to practice some laughter. This is a rich man's laughter. Practice it. Hey! My, oh my. Some of you cannot even laugh. I remember I had a friend. When she's laughing, you don't know what else she's doing. This was her laugh. Serious, she's laughing. And she was laughing, you know. But Christians must learn to laugh. Tell somebody, learn to laugh. Say, the crying has been too much. It's time to laugh. I say, it's time to laugh. Tell the person, it's time to cry. And it's time to laugh. It is time to laugh. In Jesus' name. Maria Shakata Kabre Sokoto Yanda. Ladies and gentlemen, as we close our service today, the second thing you need is capacity. Tell somebody, capacity. What do I mean by capacity? Capacity is the ability to do something. Amen. And to build capacity, you build it on three levels. Everybody say three levels. You build it on the spiritual level, because man is a spirit. Is man a spirit? Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. The fundamental you is not the shirt you're wearing. It's not the bones and the muscles on your body. The fundamental you, the real you, is the spirit that's inside you. The Bible says, "What man knows the things of man, except the spirit that dwells in him." So you build your capacity on the spirit level. That's what the Bible says: the carnal man cannot receive the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The spirit level. Everybody say the spirit level. And for those of you who think that the spirit is not important, let me tell you, There's nothing that can be as important as the spirit. Man is not a human having a temporal spiritual experience. Man is a spirit subject to a temporal human existence. The real you is a spirit. For those of you who dwell too much on the flesh, everything is flesh, carnal. What I shall eat, what I shall drink, what I shall wear. You are disgracing the fullness of God that is in you. When everything is reduced to just eat, drink, wear. Am I speaking to somebody? Life is more than that. Whisper to someone, say, life is more than that. Tell the person, life is more than the body. The ladies, are you with me? Those of you who pride yourself on your body. Hey, body ever. Hey. It's good. It's good. But there's something beyond the body which is more important. The spirit. So you're going to prepare yourself spiritually. See, I'm going to prepare spiritually. And number two, you're going to prepare mentally. Your mind. Your mind. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, whatsoever things are lovely, good. Whatsoever things are pure, honest, just. Think on these things mentally. We'll talk about all these things later. And then you're going to prepare physically. My time is up. So the spiritual preparation, I'll just announce it and then we close. Can I announce the spiritual preparation? Ezra chapter 8. I am announcing the spiritual preparation for 2014. And then we will be out of here. Somebody say, Pastor. Say, Pastor. I am preparing for a good year. On every level. Spiritual. Mental. And physical. I am preparing. Ezra chapter 8. Is somebody here? Are you sure? Maria Sakataka Brosokotonea. We are going to prepare spiritually. Don't forget that if you do any physical preparation and you don't have a spiritual preparation, it can go into nuts, into zero. Are you understanding me? You can do a lot of physical preparation, but the spirit realm can come and change everything. Proverbs 21 verse 31, it says, the horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. So it's important to let the Lord be the one directing us. Ezra chapter 8 verse 21, there was a pastor. His name was Pastor Ezra. And once upon a time, he was carrying a group of people somewhere. And because he knew that the spirit was important, he said, and I proclaimed a fast there by the river Ahava. Today, I'm proclaiming a fast there by the Peshi Lagoon. We are by the Peshi Lagoon, isn't it so? Yeah. And what was the purpose of the fast? The Bible says that we might afflict. That word afflict means to humble. It's only the humble person that prays. It's only the humble person that believes that, look, without God is nothing. It's only the humble person that can say that, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Am I with you? Are you sure? We might afflict ourselves before the Lord to do what? To seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones. So that's what we're going to do starting tomorrow. Lighthouse Chapel all over the world. From Australia to Atwabo. 4 a.m. You wake up. Take your phone. Wake somebody up. We pray. 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pastor. Ahmachi sanona afe na manu sonsio. You need to make a change if you want something you've never had before. Are you with me? Spiritual preparation. 4 a.m. Wake up. Wake somebody else up and start praying. For those of you who cannot pray in your house, maybe 4 a.m. people have lined up to go to the toilet. I want you to adjust the time you sleep so that he can wake up well and then begin to pray. If he cannot pray, we're going to open this young man here. Put your hands together for Brother Ben. He's going to open the door at 4 a.m. so that the hall will be available. When you come, look for your own spot. I say, look for what? Those who used to drink, they have remembered their spot. I'm talking about the place in the church. Look for where? Your own spot. It can be by the speaker. It can be in the middle here. It can be in the corner here. It can be on the altar. Your own spot. Then you come. And then you begin to pray. For him. To 6 a.m. Wherever you are, pray. Then, listen. Capacity. I'm talking about spiritual preparation. In the course of the day, for another 3 hours. Everybody say 3 hours. If you're a fancy and you cannot say three, say three. 3 hours. You also want to pray. And then, according to our bishop, he wants us to be more spiritual. So he's saying, watch and pray. When you have prayed the extra 3 hours in the day, Enoch, you have finished your fast. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we are not saying that the fast is from 6 to 6 or 6 to 12 or this then, 6 to 6, then you are packed, watching, banku, everything, and you are waiting for 6 o'clock. No. The onus is on you now to be spiritually minded. So, 3 extra hours in the day, if you can do it, from 9 to 12, pray. And then, after that, if you so wish, you can eat something. Is the message clear? And then for those of you who may not have the opportunity, as it were, to meet somewhere to pray, maybe your work does not allow you or something, 5 o'clock in the evening, the entire church is going to be here. We're going to pray from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We would even start earlier. We're going to pray together. And then that would also be when you have closed your fast. Very simple, isn't it also? Somebody say prepared. And I want to promise you, as you prepare spiritually, the Lord is going to answer you. The Lord is going to hear you. And take it from me, the simple things in life, even we prepare for. Isn't it also? In 1991, I worked in an architectural office just at Osu here. And I had a draftsman with me. And he used to do something. I'll mention the part of it. 4 o'clock in the evening, we will see him taking those days. We used to use a lot of drawing paper, and some of the drawing paper, tracing paper, and some of it is also brown. Some of it is a little hard. He will gather plenty of it, like 2-3 sheets, and then he will go into our kitchen. Somebody say preparation. And then he will put this paper in the sink, and then he will open the tap on it. When I was new in the office, I didn't know what it was. So one day I opened my mouth to find out, what is that man doing? And then they told me he's preparing for toilet. I said, ah, how can he be preparing for toilet? Not knowing that the paper, he wanted to do what? To soften it. So he will put it 4 o'clock, he'll put it in the tap, and then he will open the water, it will be. Then at the point is that he will go, he'll take it, and then he'll sort of, he'll just crumple it a little, and then it will be soft. Zero, and then you'll go down there. Even toilets, people prepare for it. How much your life? Put your hands together for the Lord. Stand to your feet as we close. Maria Shakata, I want you to pray. Pray for grace. Grace. Pray for grace. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Can we sing that song as we close?
We hope you have enjoyed this message. For copies of this message and other messages by Bishop Samuel Sawyer, please contact the following numbers: 0243-210-323 or 0206-485-107. If you are calling from outside Ghana, please begin with 0233 and email us at samsoya@yahoo.com. We invite you to visit us every Sunday morning at Rose of Sharon Cathedral, former Olympia Cinema, at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30 a.m. Our youth and children's service also come on at 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. On Tuesday evening, we meet at 6 to 8 p.m. for our midweek service. And on Friday evenings, we meet from 6 to 8 p.m. for our loyalty and faithfulness service. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.